Hello, welcome back to another episode of Pastor Vic's Nuggets of Truth. Now, we've been sharing a series based upon the seven I Am statements that found in the Gospel of John. Now, Jesus made these statements so that he was identifying with God, the Father, to all of his listeners. Now, I've already discussed the first five I Am statements in previous episodes, and if you'd like to know more about that, just check on the last five or six episodes. But today we're going to be looking at the sixth I Am statement, which is found in John 14, verse 6. When Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me," Jesus was revealing several important things about himself, the Father, and the Holy Spirit. This statement comes with deep and powerful significance. And Jesus was describing a new and vital relationship between humankind, mankind, and the creator of the universe. Now, among Christians, the verse is probably well known. However, it's more than a slogan or a memory verse. Jesus' statement, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, no one comes to the Father except through me," is a profound theological declaration of the Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. The mystery of the Trinity, which is three persons in one, is impossible for the human mind to comprehend. And therefore, it's a matter of faith. You see, when we cannot understand, we must trust God and his word and walk by faith, not by sight, or our natural understanding. Now, keep in mind, up until this time in human history, no one could see Yahweh or Jehovah and live. And the scriptures clearly say that and I'll give you some verses to look up. Exodus 33:20, John 1:18, Timothy 1 Timothy 6:14 through 16, and 1 John 4 through 12. Now, Jesus, God incarnate, came to live among us. And now to see him is to see life everlasting. You see, Jesus changes everything. When Jesus gave up his spirit on the cross in Matthew 27:51, the scriptures say, "Then behold, the veil of the temple was torn into from top to bottom, and the earth quaked, and the rocks were split." When the veil was split in two, traditions and rituals gave way to relationships. In the temple behind the veil was the Holy of Holies, which could only be accessed by the high priest. The Holy of Holies was the place where the presence of God was. But now, because the veil was torn in two, every believer is a priest and has full access to God. You see, there's a teaching in the Bible about the priesthood of the believer. We see that in 1 Peter 2:4. "Coming to him a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. You also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house." Now here's the phrase, "a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ." And then again in 1 Peter 2:9, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. You were once not a people, but now you are the people of God. You had not obtained mercy in the past, but now have obtained mercy." In John chapter 14, the Apostle John describes the turmoil that the disciples felt when they heard that Jesus would be leaving them in John chapter 13, verses 31 through 38. I'd ask you to check on that. But Jesus makes a promise in John 14, 1 through 4, and he says the following, "Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and you the way you know. And that's an important statement that leads into what we want to talk about. But there are three important and encouraging points to make in that statement. First, Jesus promises that he has prepared a place for all believers. Second, that he will return for all those who believe in him. That should be very encouraging. And that's encouraging for every believer of Christ. But the third point is that Jesus says that we should know the way. Now, what follows is the disciples, Thomas and Philip, state probably something that all of us at one time or another, we think about, and that is, what must I do to get to heaven? Listen to what Thomas said. Lord, we do not know where you are going, and how can we know the way? Now we arrive at the central point of this message. John 14:6. Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus makes it very clear that there is a way, that there is a truth, and that there's a life. Let's take a look at each one of these. Jesus is the way. Within the same verse, Jesus proclaims that he is the way. Jesus then says that he and the Father are one, and Jesus is God the Father in the flesh. Listen to John 14:7. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. And from now on, you have seen him. And Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it's sufficient for us. And Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known me? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? We are one. The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. Jesus then goes on to say to Philip, if you can't believe that the Father and I are one, then believe for the sake of the signs and wonders that I performed and that you have witnessed. For only God could do those things. Verse 11 says, believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves. Jesus is the only way. There are those who believe that all roads or many roads lead to God. But the scriptures say that there is only one way. Jesus says, no one comes to the Father except through me. It can't be any clearer than that. You may wish there was another way for the sake of those who are on the wrong path. Nevertheless, Jesus is the only way to the Father. The next statement is Jesus is the truth. In the natural, it's almost impossible for us to know the truth absolutely. But as born-again believers of Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit of God lives in us, and he is called the Spirit of Truth. This means that we have the capacity, we have the ability to know the truth. Of course, the next step is to do the truth. It is only when you do the truth that the truth sets us free. And I want to say this, you can't do it without the help of the Holy Spirit, because he is the helper. John 14:16 says, Jesus says, I will pray the Father and that he will give you another helper, another one just like me. That's how that's translated. That he may abide with you forever. See, Jesus was leaving, but the Holy Spirit lives with us forever. And verse 17 says, the Spirit of Truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. And then verse 18, Jesus says, I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. He will come to you through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Jesus. Jesus promises that he will not leave us alone. When Jesus ascended to heaven, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Jesus, descended to come down and live in us. When we think of the word truth from God's perspective, it means that whatever God says will never change. I heard three things that God can't do. God cannot lie, he cannot change, and he cannot let a sinner into heaven. It's so important to realize those three things. The following verse speaks to these ideas. In Malachi chapter 3, verse 6, the word says, the prophet Malachi says, "For God is saying, for I am the Lord, I do not change." And then in James 1:17, every good gift and perfect gift comes down from above, from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. There's no change. Some additional verses you could look up would be Numbers 23:19, Titus 1:2, and Hebrews 6:18. The importance of the spiritual nature of the born-again believer cannot be overstated, because worshiping God is done in spirit and in truth. When Jesus was speaking to the woman at the well, he said to her in John 4:23, "But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship him." God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. Jesus describes the Holy Spirit as our helper, our comforter, our advocate, and our guide. We need to learn how to hear the Spirit of God to fulfill his purpose and his plan for our lives. In John 16:13, Jesus says, "However, when he, the Spirit of truth, this Holy Spirit, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you." Those are Jesus' words. And then we take a look at Jesus is the life. Remember, he is the way, the truth, and the life. In Jesus 14:19, he explains that. He says, "A little while longer and the world will see me no more, but you will see me because I live." And here we go. "And you will live also. At that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. Because Jesus rose from the dead and lives, you are promised a resurrection life too." You see, life in this context means life in the Spirit, new life in Jesus Christ. Spiritually speaking, you died and you rose with Christ, and the Spirit of God lives in you. There are basically two kinds of people in the world: people living in the flesh and people living in the Spirit. Everyone can be placed in one of these two categories. With Jesus, you have life on this earth, and one day you have life in heaven, and it will be forever, and it will be glorious. However, without Jesus, you may have life on earth, but there's no life in hell, being separated from God. And that's also forever. All of us are looking for meaning in life. And it's frankly one of the fundamental questions mankind has wrestled with since the beginning of time. Here are the questions that we struggle with. That is, until we come to Jesus. And then it's no longer a struggle. The first question is, where do I come from? Listen, you are God's creation. God knew you before you were knitted in your mother's womb. Listen to what the prophet Jeremiah says in Jeremiah 1:5. "Before I formed you," God says, "before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you." Where do you come from? You come from God. What is my purpose? The second question. For the righteous believer, the meaning or purpose of life is to bring glory and honor to our God, the Creator, and enjoy him forever, and enjoy him through Jesus Christ, through the work of the Holy Spirit. That's what we're called to do, to proclaim Jesus, to know him, and to make him known. The third foundational question is, where am I going? Well, as believers, you're going home to your eternal reward. Remember, the earth is not your true home. Regardless of the life you've lived on earth, whether it's been difficult or easy, this is what Jesus promises in heaven. We find it in Revelation 21, verse 4. "And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Let me close with what the Apostle Paul said in Philippians 4:13. And I'm sure this is a familiar scripture that most Christians are aware of. What Paul said is that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. The meaning here is clear. The context is clear. Paul is saying, no matter what I face in this life, I will survive and I will thrive because of Jesus Christ in me. And so you and I, we need to grab a hold of that same attitude. That whatever circumstances we find ourselves in, we're going to survive and we will thrive because Jesus Christ in us, the work of the Holy Spirit, is going to bring us through. And so the next time you read John 14:6, when Jesus says, I am the way, the life, and the truth, and the life, be thankful that you know the way. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the truth, and Jesus is the life. There's no other way to the Father except through Jesus. Be strengthened and encouraged by that knowledge. And so right now, I just want to pray for you, Heavenly Father. Just pray an anointing on the listeners and the watchers of this series. Lord, that your word would come alive inside of them. And Lord, it would empower them to fulfill the calling that you have on their life. Lord, that you would bring healing into their life. Emotional healing, Lord. Physical healing right now. You would just, you know, I just see that lame leg, Lord, that you would straighten that leg right now. Lord, that just as you did, your word says that we would do even more miraculous things than you. And we know that it's not us, but it's you working through us. And so, Lord, right now, I speak to that lame leg and I say, be healed in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I just believe that it's being done. And so, Lord, just again, just bless every listener. Lord, bless them, bless their families, and if they're in the ministry, bless their ministry that it would bring glory and honor to you, and that their ministry would grow because we're looking for to populate heaven at the expense of hell. Amen? So we'll see you the next time. God bless you.